We're holding on Ches Amud Beis, about just above the middle of the Amud, the line begins Nachman by Yitzchak. We're still on the topic of what kind of kiddushin allow a woman to eat truma and whatnot. Where again, you have the two explanations that Rashi said in the Mishnah at the beginning of the sugya. Are we talking about a bas koyin? And the problem is that these kiddushin are leading to a marriage which is usur, because, for example, she's a grusha and her husband is a koyin, and therefore we're saying that therefore we're saying, according to the Meir in the Mishnah, those kiddushin already passel her to eat truma de bein nasha, to eat truma from her father's household, which up until now, being a bas koyin, and she was married, but now she's divorced and is childless, then she was able to. Or are we talking about Rashi's second explanation? Was we're talking about that the woman is now being mekudesh to a kohen, where there, according to Mishnah Rishona, according to the original rule in Masechet Ksuvos, there would come a point during the Erusin when she would be allowed to eat truma. And now the question is she able to now, given that this is going to end up being a possible marriage? So the Gemara says, Shalach Rav Chanina Mishmei de Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Chanina sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yechanan saying as follows: Ha'oisim maimer, if the Yavam does maimer with his Yavama, the Yesh Loi Och, and he has another brother, Afilu Hukoyin, even if the one who did maimer, Afilu Hukoyin v'hikayhenes, even if he is a Kohen, even if both of them are Kohenim, so on the face of it, what's the problem? Nevertheless, Poslam and Atruma, he's still passeling her from Truma between the Mimer and when he actually marries her. Now, on the face of it, the reason is because it's true that he did Mimer, but nevertheless, his brother still has the equal ability to do Midaraisa. His brother has an ability to do Yibum as well. Maimer, we said, according to Beis Shammai and according to a few other Tanoim, is effective in a strong way. But according to the Chachamim in general, according to Beis Hillel and according to almost everybody else, Maimer is only Dirabanan. So therefore, on a Daraisa level, each of them still has the ability to do Yibum. And therefore, so. But on the other hand, if his brother were to do bia with her and do yibum with her, it would be possible midirabbanan because of his brother's maimer. So we're saying that therefore she's possible from truma because of that potential. But now the question is why? Laman, according to which opinion in our Mishnah are we talking about? Elamelet of Meir, are you talking according to the Meir, where a Meir says that when mishtameres l'bia psula, when she's being reserved, when the result of these kedushin is eventually going to be a bia psula, then we're saying that she's posel, and you're going to say that now she's mishtameres l'bia psula because potentially the brother could end up having relations with her and it would be osur. The problem with that is, daraisa. That if she's mishtameres to be a psula, she won't be able to eat truma. That's midaraisa. That's when, for example, we have in the Mishnah that she's a grusha and she's makudash to a kohen, where eventually he's also to go through with the marriage. Midrabanan mi amar. Where did he ever say anything that such a thing would apply when it was midrabanan, where all the just the result that he did mimer is. The fact that he has a brother, if that brother were to do yibum with her on a daraisa level, would be perfectly valid. Only drabanan is it also. Why would that, even according to the mayor, why would that be enough to prevent her from eating truma if otherwise she would have been mutter? The Elul of Elazar and Reb Shimon, are you saying according to Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, who say in the Mishnah that even when she is a grusha, even when she's possible to marry him daraisa, she's still allowed to eat until they do the actual bia? Well, then all the more so. Hashka mishtameres the bia psula daraisa ofa dirabanan mi boya. If even when she's mishtameres the bia psula, even daraisa, then they're still saying she's allowed to eat truma until the actual bia. Dirabanan mi boya. Would you need to say it in the case where to begin with the bia is also only derabanan? So which opinion is Rabbi Yochanan following over here, saying that the result of the mimer is already that she's also to eat truma because the brother might potentially go and do yibum with her? Ella, so rather, he also Robin, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, then he said differently. Not, so we had Rav Hanina sent this letter in the name of Rav Yechanan. Now Robin is clarifying that, no, that's not what Rav Yechanan said. Also, but Maimer be Vimto, Diver Hakel Ocho. If he did Maimer, then everybody agrees that she can still eat Truma as long as there are no other, as long as there are no other impediments. Meaning, in other words, again, we're talking, Rashi says, Truma de Bein Nasha. Because again, even Rav Meir only has a problem with that only when it would be something that only when the bia, only when the eventual bia would be also daraisa. And here, if he himself does the bia, then that's completely kosher. And if his brother does it, it's possible only drabbanon. That's not reason enough to prevent her from eating truma. On the other hand, yeshloi och cholo divrei hakol eino echeles. On the other hand, if this kohen who did maimer with her has a brother who was a cholo, then she wouldn't be able to. And that would be even according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. Because what happens over here is when, different Rishonim talk about the different possibilities. Is it an example of Mishtameres Labia Psula? Because conceivably that Cholo could have relations with her and they would bypass her. And then Rashi says Rav Elazar and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon would agree, because the difference is the reason why they say in our Mishnah that the Kiddushin don't prevent her from eating Truma de Beinosha is because, fine, he's not allowed to marry her, but he's allowed to marry another woman and who's not a Grusha or what have you, and she can eat Truma. Whereas a Cholol doesn't have that ability. Any woman that he marries becomes, any woman that he marries is possible to eat Truma as a Cholol or as a Zoyna, whatever. So that's one reason. Another reason that Rishonim give, which the Rambam says, for example, is not so much the matter of Mishtameres Labia Psula, but a related idea because of Zika. We've learned many times in the Masechta about Zika. The fact is, the Cholol has an equal Zika over her as the Kohen's Kosher. Either one could end up fulfilling that Zika. So the fact that Zika exists with a Cholol is reason enough to pass her from eating Truma until that Zika is disposed of by the because how could it be that one is halal and one is kosher? Very easily. Let's say, for example, you have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Let's take a simple case. Their father Yaakov was married to a woman. They had a son, Reuben, who was perfectly kosher. Then he divorced her. Then he remarried her. Where a kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, and they had a son, Shimon. So the kohen we're talking about, So we're talking about now. You have two brothers. So we're talking about two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, where Reuben is a kosher kohen and Shimon is a cholol. So the result that Shimon is a cholol. So again, Rashi focuses on the point of Mishtameres to be a psula because father. Same father, yeah, of course it has to be. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about as same far as you. Well, yeah, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Anyway, let's focus over here. So okay. The point is that you can have a case where. So now let's draw out the case in more detail. You have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, all from the same father, Yaakov. Reuben was married to this woman. Reuben, being a kosher kohen, was married to this woman. He dies. Now you have Shimon and Levi. Shimon is also a kosher kohen. Levi is a cholol. Where again, you could have, for example, where their father divorced their mother and remarried her. You could have where the mother was raped. You could have any number of examples where you have two brothers, even, and you could, of course, have where there's different wives. You could have where... Because she's also Asur Torah Kohen.
And then they had another kid, right.
Right. But you could also have, for example, you could also equally well have where their father Yaakov had two wives, Rachel and Leah, and Rachel was posel to a Kohen, and Leah was kosher, etc. You could draw out many different scenarios. The point is that now you have, Rashi explains that the problem is that now she's Mishtameres, the Bia Psula, in the sense that now she's equally well available to Shimon and to Levi. Shimon being kosher, Levi being a cholol. If Levi were to do even with we're talking daraisa. Levi the cholol were to have relations with her, he would passel her from truma because he makes her a zoyna. We're going to start learning on Nuntes Amud Beis and continue off and on the next couple of days discussing what the definition of Zoyna is in Halacha. There are several different opinions. The end Halacha is that one of the ways that makes her a Zoyna is if her husband is a Cholol. Where even though Cholol is perfectly allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, nevertheless, it still makes her a Zoyna for purposes of Kohona. We'll get to it. But anyway, the point is, so Rashi focuses on that. The Rambam focuses more on the fact that you have, the fact is the zika, and the zika with a cholol is enough to pass over. So whatever the case, so we're saying that if he has a brother who's a cholol, divrei hakol ein echelos, then everybody agrees, even Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, she won't be able to eat truma. Lo nechleku ela shenasa maget. The machloikas, rather, where Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would disagree about what she can do is if this brother, the kohen, gave if this brother, the kohen, gave her a get. So now, as we've learned in the previous perek, a get passes her for yibum dirabanan, but daraisa would still be possible to do yibum. So now Rabbi Yochanan Omar echelos reshlokish Omar ena echelos. Now says Robin, you have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan reshlokish whether she would be allowed to eat truma. So Rashi just learns, in other words, that we're talking about he just gave her a get. Rabbeinu Hananel actually talks about the Rishonim bring from Rabbeinu Hananel, where he learns that we're talking about he gave her a get and then he gave her maimer. So now the question is, we learned previously that according to the Chachamim, which is the halacha, actually even according to Rabbi Gamliel, maimer is effective after a get. So now does that maimer have the ability to change anything? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Echelas. Rabbi Yochanan says now she can eat truma even after that get. Or get in Maimer, afilu l'Rav Meir d'Alma ein Echelos, because even Rav Meir in our Mishnah, who says that after kiddushin that are going to lead to be a psula, she's possible to eat. Hani mili Mishnah meres l'bi a psula daraisa. That's only when the eventual bia is going to be also daraisa. Aval d'Rabbanon achla. Here it's only also d'Rabbanon because of the get. Therefore, she's still able to eat truma even according to Rav Meir. And with a shlokish alma ena echelos. Conversely, Rav Shlokish says she won't be able to eat truma, and he's saying afilu l'Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon d'amri echelos. Even Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, who say that a grusha, for example, who's mekudesh to a kohen gadol, is allowed to eat truma. This is again hani mili yesh lo lahachel b'makom acher, because they're saying, as they said at the beginning of the Gemara on Nunvav Amud Beis, they said the difference is. Fine, this particular marriage, eventually, once they have relations, she's going to be a halala and also to eat truma. However, this same kohen has the ability to marry another woman who's not possible to him and have her be able to eat truma and introduce her to eating truma. On the other hand, but over here, a get never makes it possible for her to eat truma. You can say his kiddushin, the kiddushin of a kohen, midaraisa make her able to eat truma. Midirabonon, okay, we say not until the nisuin because of the reasons we talked about, because she may give it to her siblings or because there may be a simpoin, whatever. But midaraisa once he does kiddushin, kinyan kaspoy, she can start eating truma. So fine, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say the action that he did of kiddushin is one that inherently is able to make her eat truma. It happens in this case that she's possible to him. Fine, and eventually once the bia takes, the difference is that in a normal case they're going to continue and eventually do bia and she'll still be able to eat, whereas in the case where she's a grusha then not, but the actual action of kedushin itself is something that makes her able to eat truma, but not the action of giving a get. The action of giving a get doesn't make her able to eat truma. Now you're going to answer, I can show you a case where giving her a get allows her to eat truma. You can say that there is, because if she's returning to her father's house, as the pasuk describes, where she was widowed or divorced and goes back to her father's house, and she's a bas koyin, then she's able to continue eating truma. So in that sense, a get does sometimes make it possible for her to eat truma. The difference is chazeres paskemineo kroiv lebeinosha. The difference is, in that case, when a woman is divorced or widowed, and she returns to her father's house and can resume eating truma over there, she's broken off from him. The get broke off the relationship, or krevel beinosha, and therefore it brings her back closer to her father's house, and therefore she can eat truma. Aval ha, but in this case of the get, agidabe, the fact is she's still tied to him because the get is only valid derabanan and not daraisa. Daraisa, there still exists the zika, and they need to do chalitza or yibum to deal with it. You can't do yibum, derabanan, but he has to do chalitza in order to deal with it. That kind of get, you never find that should allow her to eat truma. Therefore, the shlokher says even Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon wouldn't say that sure that now after that get, she should be able to eat truma. So we talked about that simpoin means some kind of objection. So, I mean, you have the word simpoin has two meanings. It means a bronchus in the lung, and it means an objection. How those two are related, basic nish, but yeah.
A bone.
Yeah, okay, let's go on. Okay, so the bottom line is, in other words, the bottom line is, it's not that it's a given that like Rav Chanina said, rather it's actually machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and the case is where he gave her a get. So now Rav Yochanan is saying that nevertheless that get doesn't passel her from eating truma to bein nasha, and Rish Lakish says it does. As usual, when we have a machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, then the halacha is generally like Rav Yochanan, and that is indeed how the Rambam passes over here. The Mishnah had continued, our Mishnah had continued that if this woman who was also to marry a Kohen, if she was widowed or divorced, mina nisuin psula, so we said if it was after nisuin, then she's possible, because as soon as they had relations, she became a halala, and therefore she's not going to be able to eat truma de benosha anymore, even though her husband left her childless. And if she's a Bas Yisrael, she's not going to ever be able to marry a Kohen and eat truma. But if it was mina erusin, then ksheiros, because the fact is that there was no bia. So now this leads us into a question as follows. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah about the rules for a Kohen Gadol marrying. In Eretz Yisrael, by the way, where there are parasha ahead of us, this all has to do with this week's parasha, because there it's already parasha's Emor. But anyway, for us, it'll be next week's parasha. Anyway, the Torah tells us at the beginning of parasha's Emor, the rules for whom a Kohen Hedyet and a Kohen Gadol are allowed to marry. So for a Kohen Hedyet, we know he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Zoyna, or a Halala. A Kohen Gadol, in addition, has two extra mitzvahs. He's also not allowed to marry an Almana. And another point is he has to marry a B'sula. So now the next Mishnah is going to tell us that according to the Chachamim, which the Halacha is like them, he's not allowed to marry a Bregeres. We know that a woman goes through three stages. She starts out as a Ketana. Then eventually she develops Shtei Cyrus. And then for the next 6 months, she's called a Naira. And then after that, after 6 months have passed, she's called a Bregeres, and she's fully physically developed. During those 6 months, now the next Mishnah is going to tell us that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry only an Almana, only a Ketana or a Naira, but not a Bregeres. So now, Bominei Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmol, and the reason is because we're going to say, because since the pasuk says "v'hu isha v'soleha yikach," it means that her besulim have to be completely intact when she becomes a begeres, and the besulim are not, even if she hasn't yet had relations, the besulim, the membrane of the besulim, the hymen, is thinner or doesn't completely cover the opening or whatever it is exactly physiologically. The point is it doesn't have the same consistency as it did when she was younger. Anyway, so Bominei Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmol. Kohen Gadol Shekiddush Ketana. Suppose that a Kohen Gadol was Mekadish, a girl when she was a Ketana, or Naira, or Bogra Tachta. Then before he had a chance to do the Nisuin, she became a Begeris. Mahu, what's the din? Is he still allowed to marry her? The question is, Bosim Nisuin Azlinen, or Bosim Erisin Azlinen? Do we go according to the Nisuin? And therefore, we would say that no, because at this point, she's already a begeres, and a begeres is also to him, because not b'psoleha yikach. Or no, do we go according to the erusin, and at the time of the erusin, everything was still fine. So Shmuel answers him to nisuha. Well, we learned in our Mishnah, which is why the Gemara quoted that line. We said that even a woman who's also to a Kohen, to a Kohen Hedyet with a lav, she was a grusha or what have you, if she's widowed or divorced from the Nisuin, then she's posel because her husband already had relations with her and made her a halala thereby, but mina erisin cheres, but by erisin it's kosher. So we see, therefore, that when it comes to psulei kohuna, we go according to Nisuin. After all, in that Mishnah, we described the various cases, one of them being Almana l'Kohen Gadol, and we're saying that if this girl who was an Almana was niskadish to a Kohen Gadol, which eventually that would be a Bia Psula, because the Kohen's not allowed to have relations with an Almana, then he dies, so we're saying she's kosher. So that means, in other words, we go according to Nisuin. The fact is there wasn't Nisuin yet, therefore she's kosher. Applying that to our case, it would result in a Chumra, therefore. We can't allow him to do Nisuin with a girl who's a Begeres already. The case is that the Kohen Gadol was Mekadosh her before she became a Begeres, and now by the time he comes to do Nisuin, she's already a Begeres.
because a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeres. That's what we're going to say in the next Mishnah. Only if Tana or Naira. But the reason why the Gemara is mentioning Shekiddush as a Tana rather than Shekiddush as a Naira is probably because in those times you had usually a year between Kiddushin and Nisuin, and a year is too low. A woman is a Naira for only 6 months, so therefore necessarily. Right. So Shmuel answers him based on the previous Mishnah. Yes, he would be also to do Nisuin with her because we go according to Nisuin. Omerle, so Reb Chiya Bar Yosef says, if a Kohen Gadol's wife passes away, then he has to remarry. He has to marry a Bsula. Again, the same thing. He has to marry a Bsula, and according to the Chachamim, the next Mishnah, not a Begeres. Yeah. We're going to talk about those details more in and connection with that.
Was waiting on reserves.
Hold on. One second. A Kohen Gadol has to be married in order to do the avodah of Yom Kippur. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, he has to have a wife. The rest of the year, if his wife passed away, he has time to look for a shidduch. But when he does, the rules are that woman can't be a grusha, halala, zoina, or amana, and she has to be a b'sula. And according to the Chachamim, in the next Mishnah, she cannot be a begeres. She has to be a tana or a naira. Yeah, them are the rules. So getting back to the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Chiya Bar Yosef answers Shmuel, you're not really understanding my question correctly. L'shavya halala loika mibayali. I have no question as far as making her halala, which was the subject of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah. That I have no question. The bia he, the mishavya halala. Obviously, it's only the bia that makes her halala. That is why the Mishnah is saying that if she's divorced, that if she's divorced or widowed from Eirusin rather than Nisuin, then she's not possible to a Kohen. So that I have no question. I'm not even asking about making her a Halala. Kikam with Boyali, I'm asking about the fact that the Kohen has a mitzvah assay, Vohu Ishu V'Soleha Yikach, where the Pasuk says he has to marry a woman in her Besulim. So what part of Yikach are we focusing on? My Kicha de Kiddushin Ba'inan. Do we have to have that the Kicha of Kiddushin took place before she was a Begeres, and therefore the fact that the Nisuin are going to take place after she's a Begeres is fine. Do we require that the Nisuin also has to be while she's a Naira or a Ktana? Amalei, so Shmuel answers him, if that's your question, Honami to Nisua. Well, then we have another Mishnah that bears on this. Further on Daf Samach Aleph, we learn a Mishnah, Eiras Es Almana. If a Kohen Gadol was Mekadesh an Almona, whereas a Kohen Hed yet he's allowed to marry her, but as a Kohen Gadol he's not, V'nisman Elias Kohen Gadol, and then he was appointed Kohen Gadol, Yichnos, then he's allowed to marry her. So obviously we see we go according to Eirusin. If we went according to Nisuin, then as a Kohen Gadol he's also to marry an Almona. So the answer is that he would be allowed. So in our case, he would also be allowed to, because the fact is when he was Mekadesh her, she was completely eligible for him. On the other hand, the Gemara says Shiny Hosim Dichtiv Yikach Isha. On the other hand, no, you could say the difference is because the Pasuk says over there that the Pasuk says over there from a Besula from his people, Yikach Isha, he should take a wife. Later on, when we discuss on Daf Samach Aleph, that is where we learn the point that if he was Mekadesh her as an Almana and then was appointed Kohen Gadol, he's still allowed to marry her. So therefore, you can't necessarily use that to say that it means also that the same thing would apply to a Naira turned Begeres. So the Gemara says, Hachanami Ksiv Isha. Okay, well then, it also says, Vahu Isha B'Psaleha Yikach. So if you're going to darshan from the word Isha, that it's coming to be Marba, another case where he's allowed to get married, then you should do that, the same thing over here. The answer is, Ksiv Isha Achas V'Leishtayim, because the fact is, the Pasuk says Isha in the singular, implying you can only be Marba one, not two. So the Gemara says Umara Isa. Well, then after all, if you have two different cases where she was mutter to begin with at the time of the Kiddushin, and now for one reason or another is also at the time of the Erusin, one because she was a Naira turned Begeres, and a Begeres is also to marry a Kohen Gadol, it's an Isur Eser, and the other one because she's an Almona, and as a Kohen Hed yet he would have been fine, and now as a Kohen Gadol and Almona is a problem for him. So what's the logic to say that the Almona he's allowed to marry, but the Begeres he's not? The answer is ha ishtini gufa, v'hola ishtini gufa. The difference is that in the case of the Amana, her body didn't change. In the case of a Begeres, her body changed between Eresin and Nisuin. Therefore, there's more reason to say that if the Torah is telling us that there's one case where he's allowed to marry her, even though in her state right now, she would have been possible to him had he done the Kedushin now, then it's more logical to be married with Almana where she didn't change.
What happened?
He became the Kohen Gadol. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So now this explanation of the discussion was all according to Rashi. In other words, let's recap. Rav Chiya bar Yosef had asked, is he allowed? Rav Chiya bar Yosef had asked, do we go according to Nisurin or according to Erisin? Now Rashi learns it's not so much that Rav Chiya bar Yosef was asking, is he allowed to marry her or not? Tosfos explains Rashi to be saying that he knew that Rav Chiya bar Yosef is not asking about whether he's allowed to marry her, but Shmuel figured that there's still a similarity between the Issur Kicha and Issur Chalola, and therefore that's how the discussion went. Tosfos questions that on a number of grounds. For one thing, it comes out that Shmuel changed his mind. First he said it's osur, then he said it's mutter. So rather, Tosfos explains that what it is Shmuel thought, when Rav Chiya bar Yosef asked the question, Shmuel thought the question is, again, we're talking about the concept of mishtameres the bia psula, where the bia eventually is going to be possible. So now, according to the mayor, would that be considered mishtameres the bia psula? On the one hand, maybe yes, because the fact is the nisuin eventually to marry her as a begeres would be also for him. So therefore, maybe even now we consider it mishtameres the bia psula, or maybe not, because after all, the kiddushin were completely beheter. So then the discussion turns on that question. But he's saying that. So therefore, Shmuel is being consistent the whole time. So first he's saying that it's not considered mishtameres the bia psula. Because the fact is the kiddushin were beheter. And in fact, he could have answered him that maybe he is even allowed to marry her. But he's saying, even according to you, that you think he's also to marry her, still it doesn't make it. It's not mishtameres to be a psula because the kedushin were completely mutter. And then we go on with the discussion from there. So Tosfos, as far as the question of what the scenario is, Tosfos goes on to discuss. There's a couple of possibilities. We can be talking about that he was appointed Kohen Gadol. So we can be talking about that he was Mekadesh a Begeres, or he was Mekadesh a Ketana who then became a Begeres, and then he was appointed Kohen Gadol. What we're saying is, when the Gemara is saying he can't marry her, we'd be talking about where he was appointed Kohen Gadol, then she became a Begeres. In other words, the key thing is, was the change in her body after he was appointed Kohen Gadol? If it took place before he was appointed, there's no question he's allowed to marry her. So now this brings us to the next Mishnah, which starts talking about, again, we're really digressing over here from the main topic of Yevamos, but because at the beginning of our perek, we talked about what kind of bia is valid for Yevam, and then that in turn led us into that the same kind of bia that Hara that makes a difference when it comes to the various isurei kohuna and the various isurei kedusha of Jews, for example, a Jew and a mamzer. So that leads us into discussions of whom a kohen and a kohen gadol is allowed to marry.
Harara is enough.
So the Mishnah says, kohen gadol lo yisa almana. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a widow, and that means ben almana min ha'erusin, ben almana min ha'nisurin, whether she's widowed only from erusin or also from nisurin. And v'lo yiseh a begeres, and as we were just saying in the Gemara, he's not allowed to marry a begeres. On the other hand, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, Machshirin b'begeres, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon say he is allowed to marry a begeres, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara what the point is behind their argument. V'lo yiseh mukas eit. Another din is he's not allowed to marry a woman who was injured by wood. It can happen that a woman was injured by a piece of wood or something else which destroyed her besulim. So she hasn't had relations, but nevertheless, the besulim, the actual membrane of the besulim, no longer exists. So now, who are we talking according to? Rashi says this line is also according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, or at least Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim says Rashi would disagree. On the other hand, the Ritva says that this line may be according to all the Tanoim, because the fact is, the Gemara is going to discuss what they're arguing about regarding a Begeris, but over here the fact is she clearly doesn't have her Basulin anymore. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Almona lo yikach. The Pasuk says, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almona. And that means, Bein Almona min Erusin, Bein Almona min Nisuin. That means, as we said in the Mishnah, regardless how she became an Almona, even if it was only after Erusin. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Why would we think there'd be a difference between one kind of Almona and the other? And the answer is, Mao de Tema Leilap Almona Almona mitomer. Without the Braisa telling us, or the Mishnah, you would think that maybe we would learn a Gzeda Shabbah on the word Almona from Tomer. Mala Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. Mala Halan Minani Suri. Now over there she was an Amona, and Yehuda tells her, Shvi Amona Beis Savich. So he calls her an Amona, and that was Minani Suri. She had been married to Aaron, then she had been married to Oinon. Full marriage, including Bia. We discussed before in Daf Lamed Daled that they did the Bia improperly, and that's why they were punished. But nevertheless, the fact is that the fact is there was Nisuin over there. So therefore, you would think to learn a Zeta Shava from that. Mala Halan Minan Nisuin, Afkan Minan Nisuin. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Mishnah and the Braisa are telling us no. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Hochinami. Well, how do you know? How do the Tanoim know of the Mishnah and the Braisa that in fact we don't learn from Tomer? Maybe in fact we do learn from Tomer, and that's the definition of an Amona. And the answer is Dumya de Grusha. The answer is because the Torah is telling us that an Amona is similar for a Kohen Gadol, is similar to a Grusha. Ma Grusha bein Nisuin bein Erusin, and a Grusha, the same rule would apply whether it was Nisuin or Erusin. Af Amona bein mina Erusin bein mina Nisuin, the same thing applies to an Amona. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, look, you don't have even a potential Gzeira Shava by a Grusha to say that it should be only when she was Nisua. So therefore, we have every right to assume that a Grusha is also from Erusin, is also to a Kohen. Well, the same thing would apply to an Amona since the Torah is putting them together. Tosfos says, well, why don't we say the other way around? Let's say we do learn the Gzeira Shava from Tamar and say that an Amona is only Minan Nisuin, and then analogize and then draw an analogy between that and Grusha and say Grusha is also Minan Nisuin. The Tosfos gives a couple of answers, one of them being that when we have a choice of a Hekesh, Lekula, or Lechumra, we always make the Hekesh Lechumra. And then Tosfos goes on to say that, listen, by a Kohen Hediot, a Grusha means whether Erusin or Nisuin, because by a Kohen Hediot, there's no reason to draw the distinction. And therefore, the same thing would apply to a Kohen Gadol. Some of the Mephoshim teach out that what it means, in other words, we're obviously not going to say that the rules are stricter for a Kohen Hediot than for a Kohen Gadol. Different other Rishonim talk about different angles on that, why we would say that it's a given that a Grusha means Mina Erusin and not Mina Nisuin, such that an Amona would be the same thing. Okay, but that's the halacha. Now, the Mishnah said, V'lo yiseh a begeres. We said that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a begeres. So why? And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagreed. So let's discuss that. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, V'hu isha v'soleha yikach, when the Pasuk says he should take a woman in her besulim, that means that she has to have, so the extra bays means that she has to have her full besulim. Prapla begeres shekololah besuleha dibir abmeir. So therefore, it excludes a begeres where her besulim are gone. Now, not literally gone, Tosfos says, in other words, they're lessened, they're weakened. Like the membrane is now thinner and stretchier or whatever than it was before. So therefore, so Rav Meir already considers that that's not bifsulah. The Bala Turim on the Pasuk points out an interesting thing, by the way. There's two, on the face of it, the Pasuk could have said, Behu isha besula yikach. Instead, it says bifsulah, which means that you have an extra bays and an extra yud. Yud and bays equals 12. Therefore, that hints at the idea that she has to be 12. She has to be within the 6 months before Begeres from 12 to 12 and a half. And that's the age when he needs to marry her, not after that. So that's Rav Meir. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon machshirin bebegeres. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say that a begeres is kosher to marry a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, "B'maykom b'tzadi." What's the underlying machlokes? So Rabbi Meir says, "A besula afilu mitzas besulim mashma." Rabbi Meir says like this: if it only said isha besula yikach, then it would be fine, even if only part of her besulim are intact, which would mean a begeres. But besuleha. Add the ikakola besulim. When it adds the extra yod and says bisuleha, then it means the besulim have to be completely intact. not weakened as they are in a begeres. And biv suleha means kedarka ein shaloi kedarka loy. And when the pasuk says biv suleha, then it means that only kedarka, not shaloi kedarka. Meaning, in other words, Reb Meir would say, on the one hand, he's being machmir and saying she needs to be a ketana or a naira. On the other hand, he's being makel in the sense that if she had relations with shaloi kedarka, that wouldn't be enough to aser her, because after all, there's no besulim over there. So Rashi explains, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon would say that, as we're going to say now, that she has to. In other words, like this, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are both using the expression miktas besulim and called the soler kayomin, but they're understanding it differently. Rabbi Meir, who's using it to say that it means that she has to be a begeres, doesn't have it available to teach us about shaloi kedarka, because there's no besulim over there. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say the other way around. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon Sabri, besula means besula shleima mashma. The word besula itself implies already that she's an intact besula. Besuleha v'afilu miktas besulim. And when it says besuleha the other way around, the yud according to them doesn't teach us kol besulim, like Rabbi Meir says, but rather on the contrary, even if there's only some besulim, meaning that she's a begeres and her besulim are weakened and stretched out, nevertheless, that's still good. But biv suleha, when the Torah adds the base, implies that she has to be in possession of her complete besulim, ad shiyi, called the suleha kayomen, so all of it has to be intact. And that means, bein b'kedavka, bein shaloi kedavka, so therefore also shaloi kedavka. So therefore, in other words, Rashi says, since they're saying that a begeres is mutter, therefore they would say, precisely because of that, the pasuk has to stress for us that shaloi kedavka would make her possible. So it comes out, in other words, that Rabbi Meir is makel in one way and machmir in the other, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are the opposite. Rabbi Meir is not allowing a begeres, but he's allowing a woman who had relations shaloi kedarka, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying the other way around: a begeres is fine, but shaloi kedarka is not. So let's continue. The Gemara says, "Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Niva la shaloi kedarka, psula la kohuna." So now, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab that like the way we just explained, Rabbi Meir, that if a woman has relations shaloi kedarka, then she's posul for kahuna. Now Rashi stresses over here, we don't mean psula la kahuna as in she's posul to marry any kohen, because the fact is that doesn't necessarily make her a zoina. As we're going to discuss later on, the definition of a zoina, well, we're going to have a few different definitions, but the halacha is it means only a woman where the bia itself was with somebody whom she's also to. Here, the bia was with somebody she's mutter to. It was done shaloi kedarka, but it's nevertheless still that he himself is not possible, is not also to her. Therefore, that doesn't make her a zoina. When we say psula la kahuna, we mean that she's possible to marry a kohen gadol. Like Rabbi Meir, who says that, on the face of it, that would be like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. That's what we have to figure out in the Gemara. So on the face of it, that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying that's also because they learned from Viv Suleha, so it seems like he's going like that. So Masiv Rava, so Rava says I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, now you have the case where the Torah describes that a man is ma'anis a woman, where she wasn't married. If there was married, then there's Mrs. Bastin involved, but she was a naira b'sula. And so the pasuk says he has to pay a knas. And then if she wants and or her father wants, then he's required to marry her. As we'll learn the details about this in a few months in the Masechta Ksuvah, Svetz Hashem, even if she's ugly, even if she's whatever, still the fact that he was ma'anis her makes him required now to marry her. And the pasuk says, v'loi siya l'isha. The pasuk says she should be to him as a wife, implying v'isha ra'uyaloi. That means only if she's roi to him, not if she's also to him. Prat la'almana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalotza l'kohen hadya. As opposed to, for example, if this girl was an almana and a kohen gadol raped her, or she was a grusha or chalotza and a kohen hadya raped her, where there a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, a kohen hadya is not allowed to marry an almana, or they're not allowed to marry a grusha or chalotza. So now, in that case, the Torah is not going to require them to marry the girl because they're also to marry her for a different reason. So now, Rava says, "Hechidami, What's the scenario? What kind of bia did this Kohen Gadol do with her? How was he ma'anis her that was saying that she's that was saying that she's also to him on the grounds of being an almana? Ilema b'kedarka. Are you going to say we're talking about what he did bia kedarka? Well, then my area mishum almana. Why even bother mentioning the fact that she's an almana? Typically mishum dehavi la ba'ula. Obviously, he's not allowed to marry her. She's a ba'ula, and the Torah clearly says who he should have sileh ha'yikach. So for that reason alone, she would be also to him. In fact, Rashi refers to further on in the sugya. We're going to say that even in that case, a kohen. Now we say that v'hu ishav b'sileh ha'yikach means even if the kohen gadol himself had relations with her outside of marriage, then he's not allowed to marry her because at this point she's not a b'sula anymore. It was he himself who made her a non-b'sula. Doesn't matter. So that would apply over here. So the fact that the b'raisa is stressing that she's also on the grounds of being an almana implies that we have to be talking. So what kind of beer are we talking about? Ela lav shaloi kedarka. Obviously, we have to be talking about we had relations with her shaloi kedarka. Umishum almana ein mishum ba'ulaloi. So the only reason she's also is because previously she had been an almana. She had been married to somebody else. He died. Now she's an almana. Now, but she's still a basula. She still has her basulim. Now the kohen gadol was ma'anis her shaloi kedarka. And we're saying he's not. It's not that he's not allowed to marry her because she's not a besula. She still is. He's not allowed to marry her because she's an almana. Well, if you tell me that a kohen, if you tell me that a woman who was niva shalai kedaka besula lekohana, then she's also on those grounds. So then, why is then she's also on those grounds, not on the grounds of being an almana. So the answer is the Gemara says because homani the mayors. The answer is that Braisa could be according to the mayor, where we just said that the mayor had said that a shaloi kedarka is mutter to a kohen. The Rav to Amar Rav Elazar. You could say that Rav holds like Rav Elazar in our Mishnah, and Rav Elazar is the one who's saying that shaloi kedarka makes her possible. He says a begeres is kosher, shaloi kedarka is possible. So Rav would be following that. So Rav would be saying that. Rav is saying that she's also to the Kohen Gadol because she's a Ba'ula. Well, the question is, if Rav is going like Rav Elazar, my Iriya Mishum Ba'ula, then why bother mentioning the fact that she's a Ba'ula? Typically, to have a Zoyna. According to Rav Elazar's definition of Zoyna, she would actually be considered a Zoyna as a result of this Ba'ula. Because we're going to learn later on Daf Samach Aleph when we get back into the definition of Zoyna, even if an unrelated man and woman and neither of them is married and they have relations, but it's L'shem Znus, Rabbi Elazar considers her a Zoyna. Now again, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is only when it's a B.S. Isser. Yeah, in other words, a simple example that you have two people, a man and a woman, who aren't related and aren't married and aren't Mekudesh in any way, and they have relations. According to Rabbi Elazar, that makes her a Zoyna.
Yeah.
So then, in that case, Rabbi Elazar, we're talking about the Tana. So according to Rabbi Elazar's definition, that makes her a Zoyna. So if Rav over here is following Rabbi Elazar, just the fact that this guy was ma'anis her, doesn't matter kedarka or shalai kedarka, makes her a Zoyna. Forget about a Kohen Gadol, she'd be also even to marry a Kohen Hedyot, because a Kohen Hedyot can't marry a Zoyna either. Rishonim, by the way, deal with the question, well, so what? First of all, we have an Or Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Fine, we're saying that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, but it doesn't have to be specifically like Rabbi Elazar. He could conceivably hold like Rabbi Shimon, who also says, like Rabbi Elazar in Or Mishnah and on Amud Aleph, that Shaloi Kedarka makes her also to a Koyin, but a Begeres is fine. Rabbi Shimon, we don't necessarily find, holds this concept of Pono Yafal of Pnuya Asa Zayna. So why can't we say that? Rab holds like Rabbi Shimon. So various Rishonim discuss various angles on that. Among others is Some of them say, in fact, we can show from other places that Rav Shimon does hold like Rav Elazar's definition of Zoyna. A different answer is that the Rashba says that if Rav held like Rav Shimon, then there'd be no chidush in what he's saying. Only if we say he holds like we're not talking about Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. We're talking about Rav Elazar ben Shamua. He's a Tana and Rav Shimon is a Tana. Anyway. So one possibility is that in fact, even if Rav held like Rav Shimon, then you'd still have the same result. Another one is if we say he holds like Rav Shimon, there's no chiddush in what he's saying. Only if we say he holds like Rav Elazar. Whatever the case, The point is, so again, Rav is saying that. That Nira Lashalika Dauka Psula Lakohana. But we have the case of a man who was ma'anis a woman and was saying because she's amana l'kohen gadol, therefore she's aser, implying that only because she's an amana is she aser, not because she's a ba'ula. So the answer is that Rav, the reason why Rav is saying differently than this Braisa is we're saying the Braisa is according to the Meir's definition and Rav is talking according to the Balazar. But now we're saying according to the Balazar, she's also not because she's psula l'kohuna, because she's not that she's psula l'kohuna as in she's possible to a kohen gadol because she's not a basula, but rather according to the Balazar's definition, she's possible to all kohenim because she's a zona.
Right.
Yeah. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef gives a different answer that we're talking about. Let's say she had relations with an animal. Now, that's not considered znus. That kind of thing, even though of course it's osur and it carries and carries a chi of misas beistin, as it says in Parshas Achrei Moshe and Kedoshim. Nevertheless, it's not considered znus. So therefore. So she was ba'ula. The fact is she doesn't have her b'sulim anymore. Nevertheless, she's not a zoyna. Which, by the way, the Rambam says, you see from this, the definition of zoyna does not require necessarily that there was a bs isser. After all, with an animal is definitely osir, what we're saying, our Gemara is saying, doesn't make her a zoyna. Vice versa, a cholo marrying her, a cholo is perfectly allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. Nevertheless, his bia makes her a zoyna. So we see that the definition of zona doesn't require necessarily bs iser. So that would be the example. So therefore, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, ain's nus l'behema. So therefore, that's the result. So therefore, you can have where the only reason she's osur is on the grounds of that she's not a basula anymore, and therefore she's only osur to a kohen gadol, not a kohen hedya. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says, how can you say that? Either way, you look at it, that seems to be inconsistent. If at this point you consider her a ba'ula because she had relations with the animal, Zona Nami Havya, on the face of it, you should consider her a Zona as well. And then she's also to a regular Koyan. The is Zona Lai Havya, if you're going to tell me that she's not a Zona, then it shouldn't be considered Bia. Ba'ula Nami Lai Havya, then she shouldn't be considered a Ba'ula either. So why are you saying, why are you saying that she's also to a Koyan Godel but not a Koyan Havya? You're going to answer that, let's say, now in our Mishnah, we said, well, you says mukas eitz. So now let's assume that a mukas eitz, a woman who was injured by wood and it destroyed her basulim, let's say we assume that applies shaloi kadarka as well. Let's say we're talking about over here with the behema also that it was shaloi kadarka. So you're going to say then that you're going to say fine, maybe it's not considered znus, but the fact is it did penetrate, and you're going to say the same thing applies to mukas eitz. Well, you can't. Imkain, you can't say that the concept of mukas eitz applies shaloi kadarka. Imkain, ein lecha isha shekshei lekohuna, because you'll never have a woman who's kosher to marry a kohen gadol shaloi nasas mukas eitz al yedei tzur. She's going to have become a mukas eitz with a pebble. In those times, they didn't have toilet paper. When you need to wipe, what would they use? We find very commonly in the Gemara, they would use little pebbles, little stones. Well, when you're using that, it penetrates. It penetrates in the area of shaloi kadarka a little bit. It has to in order to clean it. So obviously, and we obviously don't say that makes her a mukas eitz, that she's not an intact basula anymore, and therefore it's possible to marry a kohen gadol. Therefore, why should, if there was an animal there instead, shaloi kadarka, why would that make her possible? Toilet paper, lechora would do the same thing, but they didn't have it in those days. But yeah. So that doesn't work. So therefore, Abaye says that doesn't work as an example where a woman would be considered a ba'ula, but not a zoina. So Ella Omer Abzeda b'ma'enes. Rather, Rav Zeder says we can be talking about a woman who did miun. So she was niskadish by her brothers or her mother or whatever, where it's only valid dirabanan. So therefore, she was validly married, but now she. How could she be a ba'ula without being a zoyna or an amona or a grusha? Because she did miun. So now there's no psul of any of znus or anything. There was no znus. It was a valid marriage. There's no psul of almana or grusha because there was miun instead, and that undoes the marriage to begin with. However, she is a ba'ula. The fact is she had relations. So therefore, so that would be the case when Rav could be saying in the name of Rabbi Lozer, again, we said at the top of the Amud that Rav is following Rabbi Lozer's shita about who's kosher to a Kohen. In this particular case, then, because she's a Ba'ula, even though so there's no other impediments, there's nothing preventing her from marrying a Kohen head yet, but a Kohen Gadol should be also because she's Ba'ula. So that explains Rav's shita. Tosfos actually explains, again, we had the question before, why do we have to say Rav is going like Rabbi Lozer? Tosfos explains, it's not that Rav completely holds like Rabbi Lozer. After all, Rav is saying that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeres, and then Rabbi Lozer in our Mishnah says that he is allowed to marry a Begeres. What we mean is that Rav follows Rabbi Lozer's definition of Nivel Ashalei Kedarka, Psula LeKohuna, so he's explaining according to that, that when she's Nivala, even though there was no Znus, then she's also possible to marry a Kohen Gadol. Even though Rav himself says Tosfos maybe doesn't hold like that. So continues the Gemara. Omer of Shimi Bachia, Nivala Lebehema Ksheira LeKohuna. Now, continuing on this topic, if a woman had been sodomized by an animal, then nevertheless she is still kosher to marry a Kohen. And that means even a Kohen Gadol, because in other words, Rashi says, in effect, she's only a mukas eitz. And therefore, so according to the mayor, who says that a mukas eitz, so again, Rashi is learning that only Rabbi Lozer says a mukas eitz is possible. Now, the Ritva disagrees with that and says that a mukas eitz is possible for a Kohen according to everybody, or a Kohen Gadol according to everybody. But Rashi holds that it's only according to Rabbi Lozer. So therefore, according to the mayor, that a mukas eitz is kosher. Regular mukas eitz in mokum besulim, right. So now we're saying that if it was with an animal, then it's considered in effect mukas eitz. It's not considered znus.
Okay.
Yeah. So ksheira lekohuna, so she's allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Even a Kohen Gadol, because it's only considered mukas eitz, and according to again a Rashi's way of learning our Mishnah is that the Tanakama, Rav Meir, says that a mukas eitz is kosher to marry a Kohen Gadol. Tani nami hochi, we learn similarly in the Braisa, nivel alami. If she had relations with someone that's not a person, meaning an animal, apple, pisha, beskila, even though such relations carry a penalty of skila, if there was aid in Basra, but Sheira Lakohuna, nevertheless, she's allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara gives an example. He also of Dimi Omer, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he reported a case, Maise Beriva Achas Behitlu, or Bahaitalu, however the name is pronounced. It happened with a girl in a place called Haitalu, Shahosa Machabedes Sabayas. She was sweeping the floor and she was bent over with Hashtos while she was doing that. The Rova Kelev Kufri Machareha, a Kufri dog, which actually says means a large kind of dog that they such as they use for hunting. On the side of it, it brings them from the Oruch. On the contrary, it means a small dog, whatever it is, jumped on her at Verova and sodomized her Me'achareha from behind, which means it actually says Shaloi Kedarka. V'Hikshira Rebbe LeKohuna. And Rebbe said that she's kosher to marry a Kohen Gadol. We have, by the way, there's an interesting point. One of the kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av lists the 24 mishmaris and the cities in Eretz Yisrael that were their headquarters. Each mishmar was headquartered in a different city. One of the mishmaris, the third or fourth, something over there, it mentions over there, what lived in a place called Aisaloi. It seems that Aisaloi and Haitalu, or Haisalu, however you pronounce it over here in the Gemara, are the same thing. So in that case, it was a city with many Kohenim in it. It was a matter of some concern whether this girl was going to be able to marry a Kohen, because if not, then her prospects for a Shidduch are greatly reduced. So we're saying that Rebbe allowed her to marry even a Kohen Gadol.
You really pay attention.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, that means not only that Rebbe said she's allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyot, but will a Kohen Gadol be made Rebbe? It means that Shmuel says Rebbe would say that she's even allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Question is, what do you mean? We made Rebbe Kohen Gadol mihaba? By the time Rebbe is around, there's no Kohen Gadol anymore. Rebbe lived 100 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So it's one thing now when we were talking.
No, the story that was going on.
Nah, so that's the thing. So Mefroshim Mechatzim, the Orach HaNer explains like this. It's one thing when we talked before about Rab's Shita. Fine, Rab's Shita is talking in principle, such a woman is also umutu to a Kohen Gadol. We don't have to be talking about an actual practical case. But here we were saying, Hichashira Rebbe Lekona, the implication is that Rebbe actually had to paskin on it. So why would he have to paskin on something which is no longer applicable in his times because there's no Kohen Gadol? He should have just said. In other words, it's one thing if he just said she's kosher to marry a regular kohen. But if Shmuel is adding the detail that he said she's kosher to marry a kohen gadol, why would Rebbe even bother mentioning that point if in his time it's not applicable? Ela ru'uya the kohen gadol. So no, what he means is she would be suitable even to marry a kohen gadol. So he doesn't mean that she's actually passing and she can because there's no kohen gadol in his time. But he's saying, had there been a kohen gadol in our time, you should know she would even be able to allowed to marry him. Rashi says that we're talking about over here where, again, where the dog did it, shaloi kedarka. Because, again, we're talking over here because if it was kedarka, then it would be at least mukas eitz. And again, there are tanoim who say, we said, according to Rashi, Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon say that a mukas eitz is possible to marry a kohen gadol. So Rashi learns that we're talking about shaloi kedarka. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to say that it applies even kedarka. The concept that the Gemara mentions later on in our Masechta called Ein Mukas Eitz Babosser. So in other words, the dog, the animal wouldn't cause her to be considered a Mukas Eitz, even if it was Kedarka, even though it's true that her Basulim no longer exists as a result of that. And that's the Halakha. Well, that's neither here nor there whether it makes blood or not, but yeah. We're saying, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rava mipirkin uhazikya." It's supposed to be Lord of Ashi. So Rava mipazikya asked Rav Ashi, "Menaha milsa da amar abanan ains nusla behema." Where do the Chachamim get this statement? We said before that ains nusla behema, that an animal having relations with a person is not considered znus. Where do we get that from? And an interesting point in that, by the way, is Rav Moshe Feinstein has in one of his Trubas an interesting question that he discusses. We know that Yehoreg Val Yaver, by Avodah Zorah Gila Arayis and Shvichas Damim, what happens, for example, if a person is being forced to be to be involved with an animal? He says that based on our Gemara, Ein Nusla Behema, it would be like any other Avera, only if it was Befehesia, not if it was Bitzina. Anyway, so where do we get this from? So like this, the pasuk says, "Lo sabi esnan zona or mechir kelev." The pasuk says you're not allowed to use esnan zona or mechir kelev as a korban. Esnan zona is a man goes to a woman and says, "Here, I want to have znus with you. Here is a sheep to pay for it. That sheep is also to be brought as a korban." Mechir kelev would be Reuven has a dog, Shimon has a sheep. They trade them for one another. That sheep is also to be used as a korban. Now, so the pasuk says you're not allowed to use them as korbanos. Utnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Tmura, Esnan Kelev Mechir Zona Mutarin. Now the flip side, Esnan Kelev, Esnan means the hire. So the hire of a dog or the exchange of a Zona would be Mutar. So Esnan Kelev would be a man goes to a woman, goes to a Zona and says, "I want you to have relations with my dog and I will give you a sheep as payment." That sheep is Mutar to be used as a korban. It is kosher to be used as a korban. And mechir zona would be where a man owns a woman who's a zona, and he owns her as a slave woman, and he says to somebody else, "I'll trade you my slave woman zona for your sheep." That sheep is mutter to be brought as a korban. So now, how do we know that? Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says gam shnehem. The pasuk says both of them are also implying shnayim v'lo yarba, implying only two things are also, not four. So only Esnan Zona and only Mechir Kelev. If you were to say Esnan Kelev or Mechir Zona would be also, then you have four. Now, the point is that if we said that relations with an animal are considered Znus, then it wouldn't be Esnan Kelev, it would be Esnan Zona, because that would still be considered Znus. If he says to her, "Have relations with my dog and I'll give you a sheep for it." The fact that we say that not, the fact that we say that that sheep remains kosher for a korban, implies that it's not considered Znus. So there we go. That's the proof, as we said before, that having relations with an animal, even though it carries an chiyuv misa, it's still not considered znus. And therefore, it doesn't make a woman possible to marry a kohen because she's not a zoina as a result of that. So that's that. One interesting thing, by the way, speaking of kohenim gedolim, we said at the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, we had a line there Isha Achas V'lo Shtayim, where we said Rashi understands that line to mean that when we have Torah as Marba, one case where Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a woman, even though right now her current status is she's also to him, and it's allowed because to begin with during the Kiddushin she was Mutter to him. So we said we're Marba with that. The case where she was an almana, where she's an almana, and he was Makadosh her before he became a Kohen Gadol, and then now he wants to marry her after he becomes a Kohen Gadol, and we said that's fine. We said only with the case of a Naira turned Begeres is he not allowed to. An interesting point is the Rambam holds, we were talking before about a Kohen Gadol having to be married. Now the Rambam writes that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives, and the Mishnah Lamelach explains that the Rambam gets that from the Magen Mishnah, actually, I think it is, says the Rambam gets that from our Gemara over here. He understands the words in the Gemara, Isha Achas V'lo Shtayim, to mean a separate din. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to have only one wife, not two. Rashi explained that it meant that we're Marba only one case where Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a woman who's currently possible to him and not two. So we're only Marba where she's an Almana, but he was Makadosh already as a Kohen Gadol. But the Magen Mishneh says that the Rambam learns from this Gemara, Achas V'lo Shtayim, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be married to only one wife, not two. Now, so the Ravid, yes, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid not only disagrees with the Rambam, he says, I can prove from a Pasuk that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to have two wives, because a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says about Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, who was a great tzaddik. We know the famous story from the Atorah of Parashat Shkolim where he saved the life of baby Yehoyash, the next king of Yehuda, and reestablished the Avodah in the Bais HaMikdash and got rid of Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Vayisa lo Yehoyada Noshim Shtayim, which on the face of it means Yehoyada married two wives.
Maybe
so then,
at the same time.
So the Ravid says, therefore you see, well, why would the Pasuk have to mention it then? So in fact, Meforshim on the Rambam explain that no, that's not necessarily what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk may mean that Yehoyada, in the course of taking care of Yehoyash and raising him and teaching him to be the right way, Yehoyash became king when he was only seven, so he needed Yehoyada to act as regent. So as part of that, Yehoyada made sure that Yehoyash would marry two wives so that he would have lots of children, and eventually he would have an heir to the throne and other people who could assist him with the government. So in other words, the Vayisa lo Yehoyada doesn't mean, of course, they say that Yehoyada married two wives, right? Means he caused Yehoyash to marry two wives. Yeah. So the Rambam holds that other Meforshim point out that maybe even that, I mean, the fact is the Gemara tells us in Yuma that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives, because there it says the Chippa Badu Rad Beisa Beisa Zeyushta. So one possibility, some of the Meforshim learn that that may be what the Rambam means. He doesn't mean that the rest of the year he's technically also to have two wives. Maybe in principle he is mutter, but then it would require him to divorce one of them come Yom Kippur, and we don't want to do that. And Mizbeach murdered all of Demois and all that, and therefore the Rambam is saying that he should never have two wives. Whereas the Ravid would be saying that technically he is allowed to. He would just have to make sure to take care of the situation before Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Okay.